When I think about synthesizers, I hear this sound. But way before the keyboard version of the synth rocked my high school prom in the 1980s, there was a radically different type of synthesizer. And until recently, it was thought to be lost forever. Okay, not quite as catchy, but give it a break. It was created in 1957. It's called the Aramix Machine. And actually, it's pretty ingenious. The musician paints the waveforms directly on a strip of film, wavy lines or dots or blobs, whatever. And that film is then spooled into the machine and synthesized into sound. Everything you're hearing right now was hand-painted. The genius behind this thing was Daphne Oram. She was a Brit, a founding member of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Then she set off on her own to create what she called Aramix.
The Aramix studio is in Kent, in a converted oast house, only some 28 miles or so from Piccadilly Circus. I'm Daphne Oram, the director of the studio, and I'd rather like to introduce you to some of the very varied sort of soundtracks which are produced at my studio.
Daphne Oram died in 2003, and her prototype synthesizer was long gone by the time curator Mick Grierson started trying to piece together a museum exhibit in her memory. He discovered the machine 2 years ago, almost falling apart in a barn in France. A fan had kept it in a private collection there and then moved it into storage. Grierson spent a couple years rebuilding the Aramix machine, and it now resides at London's Science Museum. Tim Boone is the chief curator, and he joins me from the site of the Daphne Oram collection. Hello.
Hello.
So describe to me what this machine looks like. It's right there in the museum with you. So paint it for us. Paint the picture, as it were, of the machine.
Forget everything you've ever known about synthesizers. This machine has no piano keyboard or anything like that. It looks like the sort of thing that a mad inventor would make in his shed. It's made up of old shelving equipment, about the height of a very big table, and along the top of this machine run 10 pieces of old cinema film, which have got all sorts of funny blobs painted on them. There are these glass slides about 3 inches square, and she would paint on these slides any waveform that she fancied drawing. She'd put them into the machine and see what they sounded like. It's really mad.
So a musician could stand at this thing and play something live?
She could.
I guess there weren't too many other trained musicians on the Aramix machine.
Well, she used to run weekend courses at her house, and it has been said that Mick Jagger went down and had a look. It's said that the Beatles went down there. We have to research that and find out whether that's true. So it's quite a scene that Daphne is part of.
What shape was it in? Can it still make music?
The Aramix machine will never make music again.
Really? Why not?
You know, it's a bit like that thing that people say, you know, here's an old hammer, it's had two heads and it's had three handles. In what sense is that the same hammer? Well, the same with the Aramix machine. If we were to replace all those components, would it be the original Aramix machine?
Well, put her accomplishments into a historical context. When we hear the history of electronic music, we hear mostly about the men who invented things. Daphne Oram, obviously a woman and an influential woman. Is there a sense that her history was lost a little bit?
It's certainly the case that her history has been lost. And when Daphne moved out and set up a private studio, I mean, that must have been the first electronic music studio run by a woman. I think you could probably speculate that she hasn't had the reputation that she's deserved as such an important innovator is because she exiled herself from the mainstream by moving down to Kent. And I think she was ignored by a lot of the men at that point. It's one of the real delights of putting this exhibition on, you know, that we can restore to her some of the fame that she ought to have had in her lifetime.
Well, it's too bad, because I imagine, you know, a lot of the synthesizer bands that ended up coming out in the 70s and 80s would have been a lot more interesting if they had to stand there on stage and actually paint the waveforms. You know, it would have been an interesting experiment in music to see this melding of painting and electronica. Tim Boone is the chief curator of the Science Museum of London, where they have on display the only Oramic machine in existence, an early version of the synthesizer. Mr. Boone, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
To get a look at the Oramic machine, visit our website, nprmusic.org.
The photographs probably give you some idea of this intriguing equipment, but if you would like to visit the studio yourself and see it and hear it, do give me a ring.
Okay, that one's got a good beat. Our program is directed today by Kenya Young. The staff includes Phil Harrell, Petra Mayer, Lily Percy, Lauren Silverman, Megan Kane, Arthi Shahani, and our intern, Jessica Palumbo. The technical director is Melissa Marquis. Melissa Goh is the weekend web producer. Our reference librarian is Key Molesky. Rick Holter is our senior editor, and our senior producer is Steve Lichtai. For Sunday, that's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Smith. Remember, you can hear the best of this program on our podcast, Weekends on All Things Considered. Subscribe or listen at npr.org/weekendATC. We post a new episode on Sunday nights. Until next week, thanks for listening and have a great week.